Hello, this is Tyler McFeeters with your pantograph of Friday, January 17th, 2025. The front page story is out of Sports and Recreation, Boxing Equals Discipline. Young Fighters Build Heart, Character, In and Out of the Ring by D. Jack Alkire, A-L-K-I-R-E. When Nicolas Mendoza steps into the boxing ring, he tries to close his mind to everything outside of those four corners. Just him, his opponent, and the coach in his corner. It's very Hollywood, he said. Mendoza, 21, who goes by the moniker Scrappy, turns down the volume on the crowd, ignores the blazing lights, and centers himself in the moment, in the fight. Like how they exaggerate the way that those fighters feel in Hollywood, in movies. That's really how it does feel sometimes, where, like, you're so focused on the fight, you're not paying attention to anything else, Mendoza said. In that moment, when the stakes are high, adrenaline pumping, Mendoza finds peace, he said. Last month, he sat on his living room in Normal, too, as he shared his philosophy of boxing. It makes me feel happy, he said. I will say, it just makes me really feel alive. So I can't really, like, explain it. I love that feeling of being calm in a very high, stressful environment, being able to do what I need to do perfectly. Mendoza is one of many young fighters bringing home wins and accolades to Kingdom City Boxing in Normal. In October, during the King of the Jungle National Championships presented by Ringside, Mendoza, along with Jace Smiley Johnson, 15, and Aldor Tornado Martinez, 14, earned their championship belts. It felt really good for me, Johnson said after the tournament. It being my first two fights, you know, not everybody can say. In my first two white fights, I went out to a national tournament and beat guys with way more experience than me. Even though he is the youngest of the three, Martinez actually earned his second belt, he said, something that felt amazing. The Crucible. On any given weekday, between 5 to 9 p.m., owner and coach Sid Edwards can be found inside Kingdom City at the strip mall on 1540 East College Avenue. It's a classy sport, he said. Bags of varying sizes and weights hang from the ceiling in one section of the gym, while gloves, shoes, and helmets hang on one of the walls. A mannequin with a menacing look stares blankly forward, and a full-sized, four-cornered boxing ring sits next to the south-facing windows. Edwards, whom his fighters call Coach Sid, sits in his command post, where he can see everything in the gym, surrounded by memorabilia from his days as a prize fighter, along with all the trophies and championship belts of his fighters. Boxing is sport, competition, in its oldest and simplest form, he said. You go back to ancient times, it was straight hands, Edwards says. They used their hands, they brawled and they battled. The sport of boxing, or any martial art, calls to a unique kind of person. Adrenaline junkies, Edwards said. When you get hit in the face, there's a completely different level of adrenaline that runs through. It's just completely different, he said. And there's usually two things that happen when you get hit in the face. It's either, hey, I want to keep doing this, and I want to get better at it, or it's, I don't want to do this no more, he said. More often than not, in Edwards' experience, people are more curious and come back for more, he said. We're all rebels. At some point, we're all rebels, he said. But Kingdom City is more than a nightly smack in the mouth. Edwards puts his fighters through strict physical exercises, running up hills dozens of times a night, hundreds, up to 1,000 burpees in a session, all kinds of strength and mobility training. And that's before anyone puts on gloves and hits the bags. One glance at the gym's Facebook page shows videos of Edwards running his crew through the ringer with his conditioning. Honestly, I want to make some of them quit to see if they really have. Seriously, I want to see if they want it. You can't play this. You can't play boxing, he said. You can't play this sport, you know. This is something serious. But it's within that crucible that Edward teaches his fighters about life and how to navigate those challenges outside the ring. It just has that discipline, he said, like boxing equals discipline, that just that grounded intensity. And those lessons, decisive thinking, problem solving, discipline, are necessary as these young men grow and start to face the world. He's going to need it in the real world. Outside of the boxing ring, he's going to need that, said Anitha Jones, Johnson's grandmother. Johnson is staying with his grandmother and her husband in Bloomington while his mother is traveling for work. In the real world, you need that discipline to keep you grounded and rooted, Jones said. Hard-fought lessons. Martinez, like Johnson, started boxing very recently, only within the last few months, he said. His sister plays soccer and his older brother wrestled growing up, said Mary Lou Martinez, their mother, as she sat in her living room. Aldo grew up like kind of want wrestling too, she said. So for him, it's something normal. It's normal for her children to keep active, Mary Lou Martinez said. I want him busy. I don't want him in the basement after school and spending his time on the phone. But wrestling, with its holds and pins and sometimes confusing scoring, was a bit much for the young fighter, Aldo Martinez said. When you, like, try to do a move, I don't even know if it's a pin or not, because they do a weird move. Boxing, it's just easier, he said. Still, Mary Lou Martinez doesn't enjoy watching her child get punched in the face, she said. I'm like, please be careful, she said, laughing. Aldo Martinez, on the other hand, said that much doesn't bother him. I don't think about the pain, he said. Just keep going. If it hurts, just wash it off. At some of his fights, though, Mary Lou Martinez has to stop herself from jumping in the ring. She said, I would like to, but the only thing I can do is yell, like, come on, keep going. That feeling doesn't wane, even with more fights under their belt, said Leticia Mendoza, mother of Nicolas Mendoza. It's hard, she said, laughing in her sitting room. It's hard. I try not to get emotional about it. I'm just like, okay, he's doing this. He knows what he's doing. Her son also grew up wrestling, so she said she's slightly used to seeing him in a violent situation. Sometimes I do worry because I see the opponent, but for some reason, Nick just knows what to do, Leticia Mendoza said. He's listening to his coach. He's trained, and he knows what needs to happen next. That calm in the ring, won through rigorous training, is still a surreal experience, Nicolas Mendoza said. It's weird because I do have patience in the ring, but I also just react. I don't think when I'm in the ring, usually just like to listen to my coach. So I'm patient to where I'm able to just listen to my coach, have him tell me what to do, what I need to do. And then, like, the reaction part is just instinct, he said. Jones never thought her grandson would box, she said. I thought he was going to be a football player. Even though the medium has changed, she still isn't 100% okay with the violence, Jones said. I still have the same kind of anxiety and feelings because I didn't like him getting hit on the field either, she said. But I get excited when I see him punching and throwing blows and different things like that because he seems skillful. Jones knows her grandson is picking up on other skills, too, like that focus, that ability to problem solve in the heat of the moment, she said. When adversity or an unexpected trial comes along, if you don't have the resources, you need to figure out how to get the resources, how to break the resources down so that you're not so overwhelmed, Jones said. Boxing, even with its violence, instills a strong sense of self-control and character, said Mary Lou Martinez. Even though her son knows how to fight, you're not going out and just, oh, because I know how to box, I'm going to fight with everybody. No, she said. The skills gained from boxing, self-control, learning discipline, be on time, that's going to apply to anything, she said. Go for it. Boxing and Kingdom City have had a profound effect on her grandson, Jones said. I drive Jace to practice every day, and he's quiet the whole time, she said. And then, as soon as I pull up in front of the gym, he's like, all smiles. I love you, Grandma. I've got to go. You know, it just like his whole vibe just changes. Every morning, Johnson can be heard shadow boxing in his bedroom, said Danny Jones, grandmother's husband. Training all day, all night. You don't see too many kids doing that these days. You know what I'm saying? Because they in the streets, you know. And he's not in the streets, Danny Jones said. And he wouldn't mind seeing Johnson's career take off, he said. May move us up out of here, you know what I'm saying? May get some money, Danny Jones said, laughing deeply. Even though Aldo Martinez is more reserved than his compatriots, he can't help but smile when his parents talk about his accolades. It makes me really happy and amazed, said his father, Victor Martinez, translated through Mary Lou Martinez. Their son wants to keep fighting, even at the pro level, he said, something his mother is cautiously optimistic about. I always encourage him, like, okay, go for it. If he wants to be a professional, good, why not? She said. All three young fighters hope to go pro and see their name in lights, they said, but they have to stay humble too. I would really like to make boxing a career someday, Nicolas Mendoza said, and then retire after it, you know, hopefully making tons of money, he said, laughing. But if that doesn't work out, that's okay. For now, with each fight and each win tallied, he deserves the spotlight, his mother said. Just seeing him out there, and when he fights, and when he wins, he has, like, you know, this glory moment. It makes me the proudest mom in the world. I want to tell everybody about him. The next front page story is in Education. Unit 5 offers tax relief. Property owners may benefit if sales tax passes. By Drew Zimmerman, Zimmerman, from Normal. McLean County Unit 5 is pledging property relief to residents if a 1% county sales tax is approved via referendum during April's consolidated election. During the Board of Education's Wednesday meeting, members discussed abating a third of new revenue collected from the tax to property owners for at least 5 years. The tax, which would affect a variety of products, including prepared food and online purchases, would collect an estimated $16 million to $20 million annually. The board is expected to take action on a resolution solidifying this commitment at its February 19th meeting. Dana Brown, Director of Communications and Community Relations for the Normal Base District, said this abatement would be in alignment with what neighboring districts also are discussing. The 1% sales tax, which a majority of McLean County school districts agreed to put on April's ballot, is one potential revenue stream Unit 5 is evaluating to cover roughly $50 million in essential capital projects over the next 5 years. Unit 5 Superintendent Kristen Weekly, Weikle, said the $50 million estimate is just meant to sustain existing building. It doesn't account for new buildings or extensions to address student capacity. Portables really are a short-term solution, Weekly said, referring to mobile home-like classroom units. They should not be meant to be in place long-term. As part of its consent agenda, the board approved a $1.7 million roof replacement proposal for Chittick's Junior High School, which will begin later this year. It will be paid with life safety funds. The proposal came from Trenco Corporation, a roofing contractor out of Ohio, and Henson Robison Company out of Springfield. Work is expected to last 70 days. Deteriorating heating, ventilation, and air conditioning machinery is also a concern. Wakely said only one boiler is working at Normal Community High School, and it is barely functioning. She said that if the other boiler fails, the Regional Office of Education would probably tell Unit 5 to shut down the school, and the district doesn't have the capacity to redistribute the students. In addition to these essential repairs, Weekly said the money could be committed to growing the district's mental health workforce. We currently have a number of school psychologists and social workers in place that are providing mental health services, but we know that we need more to really meet the demand and the needs of our students today, Weekly said. Safety and security, including upgrades to physical safety measures and the hiring of more school resource officers, is also an eligible expense for the sales tax revenue. The final front page story is in business. Country Financial Centennial on Display by Brendan Denison, Denison. Country Financial is celebrating its centennial with a new display at the McLean County Museum of History in Bloomington. In a news release, Country Financial said its history and artifacts found in the Illinois Farm Bureau archives are featured in a new exhibit on the first floor of the museum, just outside a permanent exhibit titled Farming the Great Corn Belt. The Country Financial display opened Wednesday night and will be viewable throughout 2025 at 200 North Main Street. The insurance and financial services company, which was founded in 1925 by members of what was then known as Illinois Agricultural Association to provide coverage for farmers, is also sponsoring free Tuesday admissions at the museum for the community for the entire year. The museum will host a free program about the company on September 16th with museum's librarian Bill Kemp, K-E-M-P, and a lunch and learn event on October 9th. The exhibit comprises three historical panels, plus an assortment of artifacts that were prepared by Country Financial. The display starts with the original 1925 charter from the state of Illinois to sell fire and lightning insurance. Within several years, policies for crop hail, farm equipment, auto, and life insurance were added to Country Financial's offerings. Then, in 1961, the company moved from downtown Chicago to Bloomington. Jim Jacobs, CEO of Country Financial, said in a prepared statement, "The company came from humble roots and now serves 19 states." He also said the company is excited to celebrate this milestone with clients, representatives, employees, and the McLean County community. "Very few companies have the distinction of being able to celebrate a moment like this," he said. "We hope visitors to the museum will enjoy learning how the company has grown into what it is today," Jacob said. Julie Emig, E-M-I-G, executive director of the McLean County Museum of History, said farming is more than a vocation, it's a way of life. And for 100 years, Country Financial has been in the business of protecting and supporting the agricultural community of McLean County and beyond. "We are honored that Country Financial has entrusted us to help share their story in commemoration of this milestone," she said in a statement. Norris Porter, director of development for the museum, added, "The museum layers are fortunate to have several Country Financial employees volunteer for the museum." He said, "From the 1950s to the 1980s, the museum was well supported by the local business community, but the climate has changed over the years, and they don't receive the type of corporate support they did in the past. We value all of our corporate partners that do invest in the work of the museum, and this is an example of how we can partner with an organization. They can invest in our work, and it's accessible to the community," Porter said. Washburn Woman Convicted Again of Murder in Fatal Crash by Drew Zimmerman, Zimmerman, out of Eureka. For the third time in 3 years, a 2020-year-old Washburn woman was convicted of first-degree murder for her part in a 2021 fatal crash on Illinois Route 89. Maya Nodine, N-O-D-I-N-E, was driving south on December 16, 2021 on Illinois Route 89 when she intentionally swerved into the path of a sport utility vehicle driven by 47-year-old Joy Hatton Hattan, about 5 miles south of Hatton's Washburn home, authorities said. Nodine suffered a broken leg and other injuries, but Hattan was killed in the head-on crash. Nodine testified during the trial this week that she hadn't intended to kill herself when she got behind the wheel, but in the moment she wanted to die, and the idea of someone else being hurt in the crash did not cross her mind. In her first trial, Nodine had said that she attempted to end her life a few weeks after she had been sexually assaulted at the age of 17. However, Judge Michael Stroh did not allow details of the sexual assault to be included in her testimony. Hattan was on her way home from visiting her husband, who was recovering from COVID-19 and pneumonia at OSF Healthcare St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. In order to convict Nodine of first-degree murder, the state had to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Nodine knew her actions behind the wheel created a strong probability of death or great bodily harm. Woodford County State's Attorney Eric Gibson, G-I-B-S-O-N, said this was a case with a lot of emotion, and justifiably so on both sides, but he feels like the jury reached the right verdict on Wednesday. "We had two prior guilty verdicts, so you don't want to then fall short the third time," Gibson said. During the evidentiary portion of the trial, Gibson pointed to Nodine's inquiries to first responders and detectives about whether the other crash victims were okay to show she was aware her actions had a strong probability of injury or death. Nodine's attorney, Woodford County Public Defender Andrew Lankton, L-A-N-K-T-O-N, had argued that what mattered was Nodine's state of mind right before she swerved into oncoming traffic. Lankton could not be reached for comment immediately on Wednesday. Nodine is set for sentencing on March 13th. Although a Woodford County jury convicted Nodine of murder in September 2022, Circuit Judge Charles Feeney III granted the defense motion for a new trial after it was discovered that an alternate juror may not have been asked about following the judge's instructions when seated. Nodine was convicted again in March 2022 and sentenced to 30 years in prison. However, the 4th District Appellate Court reversed the conviction in July 2022. Reversed the conviction in July 2024 because of a potential conflict of interest involving Nodine's attorney and the judge. Nodine's attorney at the time, Maureen Williams, was completing second chance probation for a forgery charge she received for false documentation of community service. That case was also being handled by Feeney. The appellate court suggested that Nodine's lawyer should have disclosed to the trial court that her representation of a criminal defendant in Woodford County while on probation could create the potential that she might not be able to provide conflict-free representation during the entirety of the case. Moving to the obituaries, Mary Jane Brady, July 19th, 1931 to January 15th, 2025, of Bloomington. Mary Jane Brady of Bloomington passed away on Wednesday, January 15th, 2025, while receiving hospice care at the Martin Health Center. She was born July 19th, 1931, in Danville, Illinois, the daughter of Peter and Ann O'Rourke. She married Dave Brady in 1955. Until his death in 2005. She was also preceded in death by her eldest son Kevin in 2025 and her daughter-in-law Julie Blink Brady in 2014. Her Mass of Christian Burial will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, January 20th, 2025 at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Bloomington. Her oldest son, Kevin J. Brady, who died January 1st, 2025, will also be remembered. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. until the time of Mass at the church. F.R. Jeffrey Strinneman will be officiating. Interment will be in Holy Cross Cemetery in Normal. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to St. Jude Cancer Research Center, Holy Trinity Catholic Church, or Central Catholic High School. Marianne Walker Harrell, July 31st, 1929 to January 9th, 2025, out of Mackinac. Mary Ann Walker Harrell, 95, of Mackinac, passed away Thursday, January 9, 2025, at OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. She was born on July 31, 1929, in rural Mackinac Township to Charles L. and Bernice M. Darnell Walker. She married Donald A. Harrell on January 10, 1954, in Minier, and he survives. They were married for 71 years. Also surviving are their two sons, Kendall Karen Harrell and Bradley Lynn Harrell, four grandchildren. Cremation rites have been accorded. A memorial service followed by a light luncheon will be held on April 5th, 2025 at 11 a.m. at Minier Christian Church. A private burial will be held at Minier Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, a donation can be made to the Mackinac Rescue Squad. Funeral arrangements are being handled by Hansel Oswald Funeral Home. Daniel Patrick Kearney, February 21st, 1955 to January 14th, 2025, of Pontiac. Daniel Patrick Kearney, 69, of Pontiac, Illinois, died on January 14th, 2025. Dan was born in Bloomington, Illinois on February 21, 1955, to Donald C. and Dolores Kirby Kearney, the youngest of seven children. He grew up on a farm outside Chenoa, where he attended Chenoa Grade School and High School, graduating with a bachelor's and master's in communication from Illinois State University and eventuating in a career in human resources. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. on Monday, January 20th, 2024 at Roosman. Funeral home in El Paso. Next is Alan Eugene Jean Jones, October 24, 1937 to January 12, 2025 of Clinton. And Alan Eugene Jean Jones, 87, of Clinton, formerly of Downs, passed away at 2:17 p.m. on Sunday, January 12, 2025, at Manor Court of Clinton. Jean was born on October 24, 1937, in Missouri, a son to Thurman and Edna Mayfield Jones. A graveside service for Jean will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, January 20, 2025, at Hopewell Cemetery in Downs. Kibler Brady Roostman Memorial Home in Bloomington is assisting the family with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to a charity of the donor's choice. We'll be taking a short break now and return soon with the second half hour of our pantograph, Friday, January 17th, 2025.